And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmak, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 138 for January 22nd, 2016. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Wrestlecast, The European Uppercut, and Anything Goes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. And before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. The All-American Boy, Heavy Set.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
The brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where hopefully the feed uploads and updates every single day.
Well, unless somebody fucking breaks it, that fucking European bastard always breaks it.
Or those posts from 2013.
Yeah, fucking Fight Show Live post broke the feed again. Jesus Christ. We've also got Mixmaster Phil.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Yeah, who told you to eat my cookies?
Yeah, I don't know, man. And we've got the Mob Jockey.
You take that, Shia LaBeouf.
Well, that's interesting. Hey, at least I didn't kill the show last week. Yeah.
There you go, man. He's doing the repeat, coming back this week to talk some Gremlins. And we're just going to start with playing the trailer. That's how we usually do it. We're going to play the trailer, and then I'm going to break the movie down and get our thoughts. Here we go.
Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going
to
like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. We'll wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Barney, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever, mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, eh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. What are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy. I know. But in a few hours, you're going to have a major disaster on your hands.
Gremlins, directed by Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you on Juneath.
They'll be expecting you. Okay, this is a 1984 film directed by Joe Dante. Produced, I think Spielberg's in, you know, he's an executive producer. But I remember seeing his name, like, what? He was involved in this? Starring Zach Galligan, Phoebe Cates. I was looking at the main female lead, and I was like, I fucking recognize you from something. I think she was in a bunch of 80s movies.
Yeah, hold on a sec. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
It was like, so she was in a, it was like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, that was it. That was where I recognized her from.
And there was another one. She was like naked in it. Private School.
There you go. Check out Private School to see some boobs. Budget of $11 million, box office of $153 million. So pretty low budget. I mean, it is 80s numbers, but still very successful. Okay, so we start off the movie, I forget the father's character name, but he's essentially an inventor, and he goes from like trade show to trade show selling these gadgets that don't work. And so he starts off in this like Asian underground kind of shop where the grandson has to actually pull people off the street to go buy stuff because it's literally a hole in the wall. And so he goes there. He's looking in the shop for a gift for his son. And he's trying to sell this like Asian grandfather a fucking, this thing called the bathroom buddy, which is like essentially razor, shaving kit, fucking toothbrush on this, in this big fucking bulky thing. And it's spewing a toothpaste in his face and shit. Anyways, so yeah, he's trying to sell him that. And then he hears Mogwai. Or we know as Gizmo, the little, I guess, what would he be considered? Like a mini, like a, what the fuck is he actually? Like
a fuzzy little animal?
Yeah, I guess like a, if you could relate to him to a pet, current animal today.
Koala?
I'd figure it's like some just random creature.
I guess. Yeah. I guess like a mini koala that talks.
Yeah, because nothing has those giant freaking ears.
And none are like that aware, like they can, well, we'll go deeper into what they do, but.
Could we consider him Earth Yoda?
Yeah, like a mini Yoda, like, well, that doesn't really talk.
Like a fluffy Yoda.
Well, yeah.
He was about Baby Yoda.
Yeah, Baby Yoda. Yeah, I think Baby Yoda might be good. So anyways, he's trying to fucking sell his bathroom buddy thing to the man, and he hears Mogwai singing in the background. And he has to have it. He has to give it to his kid. So he offers up to $200. And then the grandfather's like, no way, I'm not selling that. And of course, the kid sees the opportunity. And it's like, oh, meet me in the back. Fucking, we'll do this transaction. So they make the transaction once the grandfather, I guess, turns away or goes upstairs or whatever. And so he goes home. But he tells him the three cardinal rules, guys. First off, you can't get him. Oh, no sunlight. So I'm guessing absolutely no light, because I do see light in this movie, and I guess no direct sunlight.
Did he say direct sunlight or bright light?
Bright. Oh, yeah, no bright light. But again, bright is, you know, depending on you interpretation, bright can be different levels of light. But, I understand it's a movie.
Well, they made it seem like bright light, like, scares him or something. But the direct sunlight is what kills him. Maybe yeah. Maybe it's because he knows what kills him, so it's just... Even if it's like a light bulb, like it freaks him out because that's what he thinks of.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because the old man specifies that direct sunlight will kill him, but any other flash, I don't know, they just react weirdly to it.
Okay, so don't do that. The second one's don't get him wet or don't give him any water of any kind.
Yeah, it doesn't even drink. So I don't.
Well, yeah, but how the fuck does it survive if it doesn't drink? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think they understand biology.
Well, yeah, that's what you know. That's one of the things. Like, even if you have, like, you know, I might be jumping the gun again, but they give chicken to a bunch of the little ones. Like, there could be water, it could be condensation on there, like, you know.
Yeah, anyways. I think most food has some sort of water in it.
Yeah, like, don't eat celery. What do? It's all water.
Well, unless you're eating, like, bricks or something. Even then, it has, like, a minimal water in it.
Yeah, unless you're eating, like, MRE fucking meals for the army or something, and you're just eating that, you're not adding water to it, like...
Dry food pill.
Yeah, yeah, or just like eating dirt. I don't know. Okay, so you can't give him water or can't get him wet. And the third thing is you can't feed him after midnight, which is like, yeah, but what if you're in another time zone? Like, what, you know?
You're thinking this is way too much.
No, but
my OCD's kicking in, man.
There's an entire scene about that in the second one where they just shit on all these three rules. Like, they find all the loopholes and all that. It's just like two security guards talking about, like, what happens if you're on the plane and you switch time zones? Can you feed it then?
That's awesome. I got to go back and see the second one again because I haven't watched in a while.
Of course, because Hulk Hogan's in it.
Well, there you go. That too. Yeah. But the one thing, like hindsight being 2020, if we're going back to the rules, where kid goes, don't feed him after midnight. But he never, it would ruin the movie, but he doesn't ask, like, okay, well, what if I do feed him? What happens? Like,
Or you know, at what time can I start feeding them again? Because technically everything is after midnight.
I didn't even consider that. Yeah, it's not like they said, okay, you can feed them between this hour and this hour. Like, it's true. I didn't even think of that.
But even ask, okay, so if you do feed him, like, what happens? Well, he'll go into a cocoon and he'll go into, it'll be a terror and he'll try to kill you.
And it's happened before and it'll happen
again. And it's, yeah. So he might go, well, you know what? Maybe I don't need this, this thing. You can have him back. And then, you know, credits. So
why is his reaction like the dad when he sees that thing? It's not like, what the fuck is this thing?
The dad's pretty nonchalant.
Yeah, it's like, well, everyone in the movie, well, spoilers, but everyone in the movie is like, once you see it, it's like, oh, that's cute. No one asks, like, what the fuck is that thing?
No, but even, well, yeah, it's true. But the dad, the whole movie, I find, like, I know he's kind of out of it. Like, he goes to a trade show and he comes back. But, like, they caused all, well, I'm jumping the gun. We'll talk about that later. What city was this in? Because it looked like Canada, fuck. It was like the cars are frozen solid and fucking there's snow everywhere.
I don't know if they actually named the city. It was actually, I think, just a lot at
it's something Falls. No, they actually have a name for it. Something Falls.
Yeah, it's actually the same.
It's the same set as Back to the Future.
Right.
But it's a riff. The name is a riff on, like, It's a Wonderful Life, the town that It's a Wonderful Life happens in.
Because they actually show part of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, on TV. So I guess it must be the same company that they have the rights to do that.
I guess so.
It makes sense. Okay, so we then see the main protagonist, Billy, who's the son of the inventor who gets the gremlin, the Mogwai, whatever, fucking gizmo. And I love the first scene. You get the old man who's like, it's a foreign car. It's a piece of shit. It's a Volkswagen. You need American because American are the greatest cars. And I'm like, dude, if you went in the future like 15 years... And, like, Chevrolet's the biggest piece of shit now for making cars. And it's all the foreign cars that are actually holding up. But I guess back in the day in the 80s, you know, the foreign cars were shit or whatever. But it's funny. It's like the guy spent, like, a good 3 minutes bashing foreign cars.
What's wrong with that?
Well, technically, I'm considered a foreigner, so I was offended.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there you go. Okay. Why is the dog following the kid the entire way? That, like, that never happens. He follows him to work. He goes in the bank. Like, who allows a dog to work in the fucking bank?
But it's a special dog.
Yeah, well, the dog apparently speaks English.
Yeah, I mean, he, like, fluent, totally understands everything in English.
And it's just literally just follows him and goes, like, under the desk and is hanging. Like, nobody else makes any complaint that there's a dog running around. Then we see Mrs. B as Deagle or Beagle? A Deagle, right? Beagle?
Deagle, I think.
Say it's a beagle. Yeah. So we get introduced to Mrs. Beagle, like the biggest cookie cutter bad guy fucking character. Was she part of the bank or?
No, she sells real estate.
I was going to say, I thought she was just kind of like the rich people of town.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then when one of the residents goes up to her and then she calls the kids fucking deadbeats, she... Like, they're just building this chick up to be like the guy in fucking It's a Wonderful Life the antagonist. That seems like a lot of it kind of replicated that. So this cunt go, and then the woman's like, could you give us like another week to pay you back $30? And like, fuck that, your kids are all deadbeats and blah blah blah. But so why is she asking her? It seems to me like she's part of the bank then.
No, I think she is like the landlord is what I kind of took from it. Like they own the property that they lived on.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, yeah.
Or the husband owned the property. I don't know if they ever actually introduced that person, but.
No, she's a crazy cat lady, so I don't think she has a husband or something.
Well, it's a Mrs. in the credits, so yeah, I think she was married.
Yeah, but I think Mr. passed away or something.
Well, maybe Mr. offed himself if he had to live with that bitch.
Yeah, anyways. I think I would have too.
So Beagle has an altercation, or the dog apparently breaks up Beagle's snowman or something, and they're neighbors. Beagle's the neighbor with Billy. So anyway, she goes to the bank and like cuts everybody off in line, and then she's like, okay, a snowman, fuck it, dog broke my snowman. Billy says, oh, I'm sorry about that. Can I compensate you? She's like, yeah, you can compensate me by giving me your dog so I can have him off at the kennel. Like, just they're just pounding on this, like, the biggest cookie cutter evil. Like, who would fucking go to the bank and say, give me your dog so I can have him euthanized? Like, I was laughing at it because it was so fucking, like, they're pushing the evilness on this woman. And then so the dog, because he speaks English, hears her and fucking says, what fuck this? Goes outside of his little holding area, jumps over the counter and just starts fucking ripping her face off. Well, tearing at her clothes and that.
One question I was thinking during this. would this scene have flied today in a movie?
The offing of the animal? Probably not. No, it would get a lot of flack, for sure.
That's
like, PETA would be all over that shit.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, there's a couple of things that wouldn't. But again, yeah, it's 80s, you know, so I guess it's more acceptable. And then I'm looking, I'm like, fuck, is that Judge Reinhold from, like, Beverly Hills Cop?
Oh, yeah.
He was in this, too. Yeah.
Love him.
So he plays, like, another banker. I think he's a manager, a supervisor, whatever.
It's funny because I know him as the like stepdad or whatever from Santa Claus.
Oh yeah, like he was prominent in that era for sure. Yeah. And then so that day's over. Thankfully, Billy doesn't get fired. And then they're sitting at the bar. The character name's Kate. She's one of the protagonists. Billy's, I guess, romantic whatever endeavor
interest.
Interest, yeah, romantic interest. They're not together at the time, and she apparently works for free at her uncle or brother's bar because they can't afford to hire staff. Like, fucking at the time it was like $3 an hour. You tell me you can't afford, like, the bar is pretty packed. You're telling me, like, I don't know how much fucking rent you're paying in Niagara Falls or whatever, but like, so that somebody has to volunteer to work at a bar. And regardless, Judge Reinhold's trying to pick up Kate and fucking bring her over to the place. And to entice her, he goes, yeah, but I got cable.
Cable was the Netflix and chill of the day back in 84.
The douchiest lines I think I've ever heard.
I wonder if that would work today, Heavyset. If you're trying to pick up a chick and you say, come over to my place, I got cable.
I'll try that line.
You should. And see if she gets the reference. Well, she's in her 30s, maybe. After that, we get the gizmo reveal. So I got a question for you. Obviously, there's two shots. There's the close-up shots of Gizmo's kind of reactions, his face movement. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, they kind of hide it where they're just, I guess, using a doll and stuff. But the face stuff, is that claymation? Is that animation? What is that?
It's like animatronics, no?
Yeah, I thought it was robotics of some sort.
Yeah,
that's like, what I thought too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do feel like it all kind of aged well.
It did. Like, he still looks pretty cute.
Like, the puppeteering and the animatronics stuff works. The stop motion stuff with the gremlins, I don't think held up.
No. I agree.
Well, I'm kind of going for that time era, because me being a big Ghostbusters fan, I think the what they refer to as, like, the terror dogs, like, some of that stuff, like, would actually, when they're doing the stop motion or whatever, like, it did not hold up. I think it looks like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, like, he's interacting with Gizmo, and he's singing or whatever, and he's playing piano, and Gizmo's, like, totally picking up the notes. He's got, like, a great voice. And then Gizmo's smart enough to know, like, oh, what key on the piano you gotta press? Like, he's fucking picking shit up, man. And at the same time, you see the dog's reaction. He's getting pretty jealous there. They're interacting. You can see the dog's trying to fucking, like, plan something, or I don't know. And then he accidentally shines light on him, and he goes, ah, bright light, because apparently Gizmo can also speak English.
Yeah, he can say bright light.
Wasn't it a camera flash is what got him?
The first time, like,
yeah,
because they were like, let's take a family picture, and then the flashlight gets him. What happens? He shines a mirror into his face.
The mirror, yeah.
Somehow he falls into the garbage can and gets, like, his head injured.
yeah, well, that's it. Like, the first night he's there, he gets a concussion.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, he gets shined in the face. First, he gets splashed in the face. And, you know, none of them are following any of the... There's three fucking rules. Just don't do those three things. And within a minute, they're taking photos with a flash. Then they shine the mirror. He fucking falls down, hits his head on the garbage can, gets a concussion. Then he fucking wraps him up. So it was a good first night for Gizmo in that house, that's for sure.
Very responsible.
Yeah, for sure. Horrible pet owners. SPCA should go see them. ASPCA, sorry, for you guys. Gadgets are awesome. Like, you see the orange juice maker, like, you know what's gonna happen. You know the second they're pressing that fucking thing. But the amount of orange juice that came out for that one orange was ridiculous.
It's such a great, like, cartoon gag.
Yeah. Like, it covered the kitchen in orange juice. It was one orange. But the second you press it, you know it's gonna fucking blow up. But for some reason, they keep using the tech, I guess maybe not to make the dad feel bad, but...
Because they're such a supportive family.
Well, it is a supportive family, but, like, you know, the second you're... Actually, there was one thing that did work, was the light dimmer. The light dimmer was the one piece of tech that worked. And then, so the orange just blows up, the coffee spews out this, like, it looks like diarrhea, fucking heavy fucking coffee. What else happened? The bathroom buddy spit fucking toothpaste and spit shaving cream. Trying to think what else.
The gadgets?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
The egg cracker.
Oh, yeah, the egg cracker.
Yeah, the egg cracker cracked like one egg and all the eggs fell down.
The remote control telephone.
Didn't work.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But the egg cracker looks like the most useless one.
Oh, totally.
It takes 2 seconds.
Right.
And even like if it did work, you'd get all the shells in the fucking bowl.
Yeah, how the hell do you clean that thing?
You don't. All the shells are flying. Like, it'd be easier just to literally smash the eggs, in the bowl. It was awesome, though. It was funny. Because even though you know it's going to happen for me, the laugh built up. And then when it did happen, it was great. Yeah, so they break the rules with the water. Within the first day or two, he accidentally fucking... Oh, it was the kid that spills the water on him.
Yeah, because Corey Feldman shows up.
Yeah, what? Corey Feldman's in this, too?
He's such a dick. He's such a dick for a kid. He spills over, he knocks the thing over. And then he's like, oh, no apologies. He never apologizes a single time in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is that little kid hanging out with a 18-year-old?
Well, they make him look like he's 14 when he's 20.
Well, he has a job. He has to, deliver all these Christmas trees. And then he just hangs out at the guy's place. Don't you have other stuff to do?
But there is kind of they play Billy down as a 15-year-old almost.
But he's going to a bar.
Yeah. Well, he works.
He's 21. He's drinking.
But he works at a bank.
And he works at a bank. But he acts like he's fucking 12. When he's with the parents, he acts like he's 12. That I didn't get.
I guess he's 20 because apparently Judge Reinhold in the movie is he says he's 23.
23,
and it's I'm already a manager at 23, so I guess he's younger than 23 at this point.
I'm thinking maybe he's 21.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the state, for the drinking law. Is it 18 some places, or is it always 21?
At one point, 18 was a drinking limit, but I don't know when that changed.
Okay, so maybe he's 19, 20 or something? I don't know.
I guess so.
Okay, so then fucking Corey Feldman, the douchebag, gets Gizmo wet. And apparently when you get them wet, it automatically impregnates Gizmo, or I don't know what the fuck it... But these furry balls pop out of his back, and then they just turn into little fucking Mogwais or whatever. But the Mogwais that come out of him are fucking assholes for some reason. So I don't know if the farther you go down the food chain, the more asshole... the Mogwais turn into. Maybe the first one was the nicest one, and then, or if is Gizmo an original, that, I don't know how, but all the Mogwais that came out of Gizmo were fucking douches, especially the one they refer to as Stripe. Is that what they call him?
Yeah, with the leader? With the Mohawk, yeah.
Yeah, so he's the heel of the Mogwais. He was the one that bit Feldman, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's also the leader of all the other ones.
Yeah, he takes control because he has a stripe on his head. He's the fucking leader.
He's the alpha.
He's the alpha.
Looking some things up about the whole drinking thing, the Drinking Age Act of 1984 was passed to make it 21, but I think they allowed it to 1986. That's when everything went into effect. But in 1984, it was by state. And it ranged. It all depend on what state that took place in. So
yeah, which is an imaginary fucking state, so... Wherever it is, I guess.
Well, you figure. Well, it's got to be somewhere cold.
You would think New York or Maine or something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking Northeast.
If it was somewhere in if it's somewhere in the Northeast, it just depends on what state it's in. But appears nothing in that age was 18, so he had to be at least 19 or older.
I know here in Ohio, 18 was the drinking age, but it was a special kind of beer you could have. It was a half beer or something.
What the fuck?
It was half the alcohol of a normal beer or something.
It's so weird hearing that because it's been 18 here forever.
Well, it's true. But at that time too, it's weird because Ohio is one of the few states at that time that's marked as minimum drinking ages 18 and 21. What?
Yeah, with the different beers.
Well, yeah, because it just sounds funny because it's just you're only allowed to have 2 beers. Then you want to know your minimum is 2 beers or 5 beers. Well, which is it?
Oh, it's so fucking complicated. Just make it one or the other. It's good they fucking fixed that anyways. So then you see the first signs of the main theme. I like how they creep it in a bit, in the music. You're da, 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 when they give the guys the chicken. You know, it's smart. I'm sure Stripe had something to do with it, but they somehow know the rule. They're aware of what time is. They've been like alive for 3 seconds.
They know how electricity works.
They know how electricity works. They know how clocks work. And well, they know the actual rules.
Hold on. They procreate by water. So let's just figure out like that part in general too.
Yeah. Some things you just kind of have to overlook.
Yeah, well, most of the movie. But that's it. It's a fun movie. But I just point them out for fun. So they are self-aware, I guess, and they fucking do all that shit. Con little naive Billy into giving them a plate full of chicken. Like, if that's your leftovers in your fridge, man, what the fuck? Like, that was a big fucking plate of chicken.
It's unwrapped. He's just like, I don't know.
They don't even cook. I guess in the 80s, they didn't use containers.
I guess not. They just cooked the chicken and just dumped it in the fridge.
It looked like nobody ate, too.
And he didn't warm it up, too. He just gave it to them.
Well, I've eaten cold chicken.
Well, they're animals, so creatures, whatever you want to call it. So it's kind of like.
Yeah, I don't think they give a shit. Yeah. So then they fucking hang the. They fucking hang the dog into the Christmas lights, which is great. Because they looked, okay, this dog's going to be a problem, so we got to hang the fucker up.
Yeah, there's definitely a scene that they couldn't put in a movie today.
Yeah, there's no way. It was hilarious, though. I also had a note here. It looks like the more they populate, the bigger heels they become. Like the one that was in the cage, I don't know if he was a second. Yeah, he was a second spawning. So he was like a spawning of the other one that got spawned. And that one looked like more of a douche than the other ones. Like it seems like the more down the line they go, like the more heels they become. The same night that they eat the chicken, the laboratory dude just leaves takes one bite of a sandwich and just leaves and leaves it all on the table. That didn't make sense. Well, it was convenient because then fucking little mug. And Billy didn't warn him too. Like, don't feed him after midnight, whatever. So he just leaves the sandwich on the thing. They're completely irresponsible. He grabs a sandwich, he eats it, and then they all start incubating into this like cocoon thing. So then, yeah, the gremlins get retribution for the blood. Well, the little gremlin gets retribution for the blood test because then he gets let out and he fucking this. And this is when it turns like from kind of a comedy to a horror movie. It morphs into a horror movie.
And just like every other horror movie of the time, the black guy dies first.
Of course.
Yeah, guy dies first.
The only black guy.
In the entire village.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Token black guy dies. Has this happened in other movies? Because I'm not a huge horror movie guy, where it's gone from a lighthearted comedy into a hard... Well, it wasn't hardcore, but like a horror... Straight into a horror movie?
Well, it's considered a horror comedy.
Yeah.
Not...
It's a black comedy.
Yeah. Well, technically so is Ghostbusters, so I mean...
Which is kind of weird, because it came out the same weekend.
Yes, yeah.
But it was like a very hard transition, I find. Like, it just the second they fucking morphed in the gremlins, or it was especially in that lab scene where it really turned into more of like a straight horror movie.
Yeah, and you also got to think this movie was originally rated PG.
Holy shit. Well, I remember seeing it, like watching some of these scenes when it goes to the horror movie. I'm like, they let kids watch this? This fucking graphic, man.
Yeah, I think it was advertised as a kid's show.
That is hilarious. That would not have fly today at all.
Because of all the merchandising and stuff that went on, it was kind of geared toward kids. As a matter of fact, this movie and Indiana Jones Temple of Doom were the reason that the MPAA made PG-13.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious.
It's funny, too, because Gizmo was like in the late 80s, like heavily merchandised.
Oh, dude, they sold a cute the little shit thing out of that.
Even the gremlins, like the toys of the gremlins, were sold to everyone.
Yeah, they even had Topps even had trading cards.
Oh, I mean,
well, of all the different gremlins, or
I guess, yeah, I don't remember what they.
Well,
were,
they used to do trading cards with all the scenes of the movie, so you would get like 100 cards, and it would pretty much be the entire movie, but with pictures.
Okay,
yeah,
I guess it kind of makes sense because in say we said that it came out the same week as Ghostbusters, that was also PG-13, and that was a hardcore thing turned for kids, cartoon and everything.
Yeah. Well, wasn't the movie first before the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I guess they kind of watered it down.
But of course, too, that back in the 80s, everything was like, if it was a movie and it was really successful, they turned it into a cartoon. Ghostbusters, Back to the Future,
Robocop.
Robocop.
Did they do Gremlins that
Police
way?
Police Academy.
I don't think so.
I don't think there was a Gremlin cartoon.
No, they
I don't
never
think
expanded,
there was either.
No, they never expanded this beyond the movies. It was
they tried games, but
yeah,
I would like to see an origin story, only because I want to see them come from the wild and see the what happens the first time it rains.
You want to see like more racist depictions of China?
Yeah,
they're fucking tearing it up.
I believe I read that they're gonna do another Gremlins.
Yeah, it's confirmed. Yes.
It confirmed by the one star. I happened to read a bunch on that recently, but it doesn't sound like there's a lot like concrete about it right now. Everything's they're like it's going to happen, mm-hmm. but I don't think they have anything written and anything like that yet.
I think it could use the upgrade, especially effects wise. I'd be curious to see how it turns out.
The Billy, the protagonist, because I happened to like after watching it and everything, going on YouTube and finding something about him, and he said. It was so recent, I think it was a couple months ago, where he talked about if it's going to be like anything, it's going to be like Jurassic World. And the guy who did the first one is going to do this one. He wasn't exactly a part of the sequel. And it's going to be a thing where time has passed for everybody. It's going to have some of the same people in it. And the events from the original will be referenced.
Huh. So the gremlin who got picked by the token black guy to take his blood, he got retribution. He kills him, and you get a jump scare. So like it literally transitions from comedy to fucking goes straight hardcore horror with fucking jump scares. And then
the music even changed with it, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. No, it started getting all fucking creepy, and like the main theme comes into the movie, but then it gets like fucking like horror movie music after that. I wish I could read my own handwriting. Playing blank with Gizmo. Love it. Playing
darts.
Yes, that's it. There you go. Awesome. Yeah, and then they started fucking playing darts with Gizmo. I thought that was funny. They're going into the mom's house, and Billy's like, "Mom, they're self-aware. They're gonna kill everybody. Get out of there." And then they know how phones are, so they cut the phone cord in the back of the house.
Yeah,
like fucking hardcore, man.
With the phrase, phone home.
Yeah, there you go. I really forgot as a kid, like, how fucking hard this movie gets. It was, then the mother starts fucking capping them, fucking stabs one of them, sticks another one in the microwave, fucking just,
yeah,
she goes off.
The first one dies in the grinder, which is pretty intense.
Yeah, yeah. The blender invention worked.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, yeah, it actually did work, yeah, for one, kind of worked out. But the mother fucking just goes crazy, man. She's like, okay, you, I'm taking you all out.
At some point, she's like dual wielding knives.
You see her face? Her fucking, she looks like a serial killer, yeah. Man, with a knife. It's great. Billy goes to grab Gizmo, then brings him in the snow. Like, idiot, if you get him in the fucking snow, like he's gonna, you can't bring him outside. What are you doing?
Snow's not water.
It's technically water, but at some point it's gonna melt, right? If you get snow on you, at some point it's gonna melt.
Yeah, it's gonna melt, and then he populates again. I think at that point, I don't know if they kill the one in the lab or Billy kills him before. I'm trying to remember. But then, so to my understanding, it was just the stripe one that was left. Like the mother killed the other one.
Yeah, so the lab one survived. That one ran away. The mother managed to kill, I think, four of them or five. And then Billy comes in and takes the sword and like beheads one of them.
Yeah, he caps
another. So the only one left is Stripe.
So Stripe was the last one. Yeah. They almost get him, but then he's running after him, but then he falls into a swimming pool.
He goes to the creepiest YMCA ever. I don't know who goes to a swimming pool where it's all concrete walls everywhere and railing. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. And then Stripe falls in the pool and fucking all hell breaks loose. It's just this like giant cloud of smoke and fucking.
And then there's a rave going on because apparently if you look when you run outside, all the lighting looks like a rave.
Yeah, it turns into an 80s rave.
I kind of wonder if it was kind of a homage to Cocoon.
When did Cocoon come out?
I thought it was before this.
Huh.
We'll check that.
Because I know there's a lot of references to Body Snatchers, because he play on the TV and all that, and with the pods and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, they did the Christmas movie. It's a Wonderful Life was on there.
Yeah.
They had a Twilight Zone episode, I think, on there also.
Everything on their TV, because they don't have cable, because they're not Judge Rhino.
Yeah.
Everything that's playing on TV is black and white.
Yeah,
they don't have any live news or anything. Everything is like old footage. Like he got like the public access of whatever.
No, sorry, Cocoon was 85.
There we go.
Is that what cable was back then?
Yeah. Did you guys notice one of the cops? There was two cops there. One of the two.
They're all drinking.
No, but one of the two. Did you notice who
the actor?
One
was?
Of them was. Yeah.
No.
Who's the old guy in Breaking Bad? The enforcer guy.
Yeah, who's Will White?
I'm going to look that up. Hold on.
You're not talking about the sheriff himself, are you?
No, the sheriff's assistant, the other guy.
His name, the deputy Brent, was Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks played...
Yeah, he was in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he played...
Frank McPick? No, that was a different movie.
Television. Axe Cop. That's hilarious.
It was actually a decent show.
Yeah, he played Mike Ehrmantraut.
Uh-huh.
And he was the... he was with Saul there. He was Saul's... fucking enforcer guy. And he was in this. I was surprised you guys didn't catch that. Well, I don't know if you're fans of Breaking Bad. But
I didn't recognize him at all. So
yeah, he was in there. And then the anti-foreign guy again with his fucking, he's bashing foreign TVs. Goddamn foreign TVs should have got me a Zenith.
Isn't Zenith foreign too?
I didn't know Zenith was made in America. So then all the capping starts. So they're on the roof fucking with the antenna. And then they drive his tractor straight into his house. They're bastards, man. I love it.
Does he die? Are they dead?
Yeah, well, don't they run him over with the fucking the truck?
I think they're dead, right?
Yeah. And then they drive the fucking tractor into the house, take him out and the wife. And then they're right next to Deagle. And I love how they start saying Deagle, Deagle, Deagle. Like, it was a Stripe saying that, I think. I don't remember. I think it was Stripe.
Yeah, because they read the Deagle real estate, so they're chanting her name.
So apparently they can read too.
Yeah.
So then they go in and they rewire. She has this chair that brings her up the stairs and down the stairs. So they rewire the chair. So the chair goes at about 100 miles an hour
up
and fucking flings her outside the fucking window.
That building,
and
she goes, that building is only two stories high.
And yeah,
if you look at that scene where she's going up, she's going up like 10 floors.
It's ridiculous. And then she goes flying outside the house. And nobody I'm sure every moviegoer is like, yeah, you know, fuck her deserved it.
Pretty much,
fuck her.
Yeah.
Nobody had any sympathy for her because she was such a bitch. Like, even the cops, too, they drove by. Yeah, that's Deagle. Yeah, whatever. And then drove away. And then they start rewiring people's brakes so they all fucking smash into each other. All their bastards. But then they go into the bar where Katie works, and for some reason she's serving them like beer.
Yeah.
But hold on. They can't drink water. If they drink water, but apparently if it's alcohol, it's fine. I don't know.
That was awesome, though.
It was a funny scene. Like, they all propagate to this bar, and they're like, she's making them serve them beer, and fucking they're sitting there playing cards and fucking
smoking,
swinging on the ceiling shit.
Like, one of the scenes was actually the Star Wars cantina scene.
I didn't even catch
it. Yeah, that was what it was supposedly modeled after to give a little homage to Star Wars.
It was fun. It was a fun scene. But then she finds out she took a photo accidentally.
Polaroid.
It was a light.
It's a Polaroid.
Yeah. And so, fuck. So then she took a Polaroid and she's taking him out with a Polaroid. And then she took off.
Couldn't she just open the lights of the bar?
Was it at night?
I thought it was nighttime, yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't the bar have, like, normal lights?
Yeah, she could turn the lights on and then... yeah, it's true. Why waste all these Polaroid shots?
All what is it? I think there's six on a flash.
Yeah, and they used to be super expensive. They still are.
Yeah, I actually remember having one of those.
So then they fucking... So they trash this bar and then they go to a movie theater. They all propagate. They're like, okay, fuck this. We're all trash and hammered. Let's all go watch a movie. So they all go to a movie theater and then Snow White comes on. And they're like the biggest Snow White marks in the history of like everything. Like they fucking mark out for Snow White. They're singing. They get all into it for some reason. They love it. And then I'm actually half falling asleep at this point. But so I forget. But I think from what I understand, like he attaches something to a gas line and blows them up, right?
Yeah, they break the main gas pipe and he sets fire to like. I don't know, a piece of cloth, and then at some point it's supposed to blow up.
And then, but Stripe gets away. Was he the only one that got?
Yeah, because he got hungry. He went out for popcorn, but then he ran out of popcorn. So he saw the candy store across the street and then ran for that.
So he saves.
Yeah, but you missed the Kate monologue about her worst Christmas.
Oh yeah, no, I remember that. It was the fucking my dad got stuck in a chimney or something.
And then she lit the fire and then she smelt it. And then they had to call like the fireman to pry her dead dad who broke his neck while coming down the chimney, dressed as Santa Claus.
And this is a kid's movie.
Yeah, no, it's fucking dark.
Actually, originally, it was supposed to be much darker.
Really?
Yeah, let me find it exactly. But it was like they had a scene of the gremlins rolling mom's head down the steps.
Oh, Jesus.
What was it?
The dog was supposed to die.
Yeah, they ate the dog.
Yeah. They were supposed to go to a McDonald's and eat the customers.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they had to tone it down a little bit so they could get PG.
Yeah, it was fucking, it was hard. It got pretty hardcore at some point. So even that was, I remember that story too. Yeah, like my dad got stuck in the chimney. I set the fire, broke his neck. But here's the thing. How come there's two cops in the whole town?
It's not a crime-heavy area.
I'm guessing that was kind of maybe common back in that day.
Because they're all white people.
Well, I'll say obviously in this town there was only one black guy and he was a teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was a good amount of people in that town. Like they had pretty big buildings and shit. So it's not like a 40-person town. It's I'm guessing probably 10,000 people. So you got two cops and like nobody's manning the phones. It's
yeah, they're all drunk.
Yeah, the cops do nothing.
The cops are driving around town drunk.
But at some point, you see shit blowing up. Nobody's calling in anybody else. Like, there's no, or the other cops, they don't say, oh, fuck, we're up Schitt's Creek. Let's call other cops. They just get the fuck out of there.
Well, like, they first saw it when the old woman got thrown out of the building. And the cop car was pulled up out front when that happened. You would think that's when they would have said, oh, shit, let's do something.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, fuck this, whatever.
It took them 5 minutes to react to the Santa Claus getting mauled by, like, the 15 gremlins. And they just closed their windows.
Yeah, they're just, okay, fuck this, bye. Yeah, worst cops ever. But they keep pushing the Stripe guy. Like, they keep mentioning Stripe is the leader. Stripe this, Stripe that. So I'm surprised they didn't have a better name for him. They just call him Stripe. And this is where I'm falling half asleep. So then they're in some kind of...
they're in the toy store.
There's a place where there's a fountain. Okay, there's a toy
store. Yeah, the whole end sequence happens in the toy store.
Okay. And then I guess there's a fountain in the toy store. And so fucking Stripe guy is like, okay, well, I can populate here. Jumps in there. And then as he's doing that, Gizmo to the rescue in a little toy car, flies up a shovel, pulls down the light and takes him out. There you go. And then Billy lives happily ever after with father murdering Kate. You got Mrs. Deagle fucking dies, which is good. The dog's still alive. Bonus. They finally bring in the grandfather. The father brings in the Asian grandfather. The Asian grandfather's looking at the news. He's like, dude, what the fuck is this, man? I told you three. Well, no. First of all, you stole the fucking guy off. You conned my grandson into giving it to you. And then you fucking didn't follow any of those rules. But I mean, if the thing's that fucking creepy, like, wouldn't you just kill him? Again, I understand the movie, but like, if you don't, I know Gizmo's cute in that, but you don't want him to have that happen again. Don't you just off him at that point?
No, he's too cute.
No, because he says something about respecting nature. So you can't eliminate that race just because they're bad.
That's true. I guess it's the American in me that just wants to proactively.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the last speech, right? It's like, you're Americans, you're technology, you're not ready for this stuff. You don't know responsibility, blah, 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 blah. You suck.
And we're still not. You.
Asians rock, Americans suck.
There you go, pretty much at the end. And the father's all nonchalant. He's looking at the news. He's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Like, half the town is dead.
Yeah, like, half the town's dead. Everything blows up. You're the cause of it, and you're completely like, yeah, whatever.
He's still pimping his smokeless...
the smokeless ashtray. Yeah.
That was awesome. That was great.
I've never seen like a family give zero fucks about the rest of the... Like, these guys should have been put on so many charges of like neglect and fucking just stupidity, man. They should have all gone to jail, but whatever. I guess it's a movie, so nobody cares.
But it was like the whole thing, like... The news and everything acted like everything was a freak accident.
But doesn't your conscience kick in at some point and say, I'm the cause of all these people dying? People need to know that? I guess not.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole thing of the father kind of like willing to get rid of Gizmo.
Yeah, but maybe a little more than that, you know, because he doesn't seem too worried about it, you know. Anyways. All in all, I really enjoyed the movie. It was nice to go back to it. I didn't realize how fucking hard it gets. when the Gremlins come out, like for a kid's movie, it really surprised me. And some of the 80s stuff was fun.
I remember being a kid and seeing this and just, yeah, it was terrifying.
It was. It's fucked up, man. But for the nostalgia, I'm going to give it an 8. Mob Jockey, let's get your quick thoughts and your score on 10.
Yeah, I think 8 sounds about right. It's a lot of fun to go back and watch some of these. It's not like laugh out loud funny. It's make you smile funny.
Heavy set.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie prior to watching it, so this would be my first reaction. I'm giving it a 7. I felt like it could have been an 8, but I don't know. There's the weird aspect of it, that mishmash of different feelings, because there's people that try to say, well, Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie. I've always grouped it more towards horror and everything. Actually, that's how it closed out.
Originally, it was supposed to be the Christmas release from Warner Brothers, but they wanted to go. They wanted something to go against Ghostbusters, so that's why they released it when they did.
Well, even with that, the wanting to release on Christmas, just because you release something on Christmas doesn't mean it's the last Nightmare on Elm Street was released on Valentine's Day. It's not a Valentine's Day movie.
Phil, let's get your score on 10.
I'd give it a 8 out of 10. Well, seeing as a kid, you don't get all the references, but looking at it now, you get all the like the spoofs of films and like they're riffing on like fairy tales and Christmas stories and stuff like that. So that stuff was really fun to watch. Like effects held up. Like Heavy Set said, like the only thing that's kind of weird is the differences in tone and how they switch from one scene to the other. So yeah, still a solid movie.
Yeah, I think it holds up, and it's fun to rewatch it as an adult for some of the stuff. Yeah. So on that note, we're going to play some feedback. We haven't gotten into that in a while, and then we're going to have to choose our homework for next week. Let's get into... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got some more stuff, like fact stuff here if you want to hear it.
Go for it, man.
Howie Mandel did Gizmo.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He did the voice.
He did the voice of Gizmo. The guy that did... Was it the second one also?
Yeah, I would say he's been a constant voice, but he's only been in two movies, but yeah.
Now, he didn't do the singing part. That was some other church choir member or something, but the actual voice part was him. The voice of Stripe was Fred Welker. He was Fred in Scooby-Doo.
Also Megatron.
Some of the random noises from the Gremlins, like the whatever Gremlins, was Michael Winslow.
Oh, wow.
Police Academy, yeah. Mogwai is actually Cantonese for devil, demon, or in fact, gremlin.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it is. It's Mogwai, but yeah, but whatever. Like, they really got the most racist-looking Chinese guy.
It was ridiculous. It was, yeah, it was the...
Well, that's part of the fun, because he's making fun of these old movies, so yeah. It has, like, this film noir thing at the beginning, and it's, like, this creepy, mysterious thing where it would have worked in the 50s, but in the 80s, even then, it felt kind of weird.
I would say, too, I really enjoy the theme.
Oh, the main theme? The
theme is awesome. Yeah. And I love how they slowly introduce
it. Like, how the fact there's no really, like, lyrics for it.
Well, the Gremlins at the end sing to the theme, so it's pretty amazing.
I'm trying to find it here. I thought, like, the director also did Home Alone, the two Home Alone movies?
No, the writer is Chris Columbus, the director of Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yeah, and he's the one that's going to be behind the new one.
And one of the guys from Monty Python actually submitted a script for 2. I don't know if it was used or not, but he submitted it.
And we already have, between this episode and last episode, I think I mentioned it before recording, the theme that we're going for right now is a movie that takes place during Christmas, and somewhere in the series, Hulk Hogan appears. So next week we'll be doing Three Ninjas, and then
that's awesome.
A Muppet movie. Because I think he did appear.
Signing with Muscles.
Well, no, it's got to be a series, and we have to watch a movie that Hulk Hogan doesn't appear in, but he appears somewhere in the series.
Yeah.
Because I think he does appear. He did appear in like one of the Muppet movies. Oh yeah, it was after he joined the NWO, and like I think it's the Rat. He's like, I thought you were a good guy. He's like, I'm a bad guy now, dude.
That's awesome.
That looks like all the important ones anyway.
It looked like the second one didn't do as well. Cost 50 and made 41.
Ouch.
There was a lot of marketing for the second one, too. It was everywhere. Yeah. Couldn't miss it.
Yeah, it lost a good amount of money. It took 6 years. It was released in 90.
Yeah.
Maybe that was why it took too long.
But would that mean if they came out with another one, would that capitalize on something? I think also, too, it depends on that marketing and the trailer in the movie you produce.
Well, I think, too, it's been a little while, so you're going to get that nostalgia factor back. Mm-hmm. The question is, how long has it been, you know? But I think Gremlins would resonate. Like, you don't make it as hardcore as the first one there, but you maybe make it PG-13 or, I don't know, PG, if you really hold back on it. But I think it would do well.
So here's a question. So what are people expecting? Like, so they're going to make a new Gremlins. So what are people looking forward to in the Gremlins movie in the 21st century?
I would think just an up-to-date version of the Gremlins. Maybe they make them CGI so they'll look a bit better. I don't know. Like,
would they still be a threat? Yeah.
Do you go more gore?
Yeah.
I don't think you can make this. I think you want to appeal more to a younger audience, though, because that's where you're going to make your money.
Or do you appeal to the 35 to 40-year-old audience?
I think you're going to appeal to them anyways for the nostalgia factor. So you're going to want to market to kids to get both of the markets. That's how I would do it.
Well, at the same time, let's think about how we were looking at, to go something more current, Deadpool. And
But Deadpool and Gremlins are a big difference.
But it's one of those things you'd figure there would be some sort of like, well, we need to market something towards kids. And I'm actually impressed with Fox. There's no market towards kids. And there's actually parents out there who are pissed and want a PG-13 rating. But it's just like, when you step back and look, this movie isn't marketed to kids, so what's the big deal?
Yeah,
that's
not a kids movie.
I think they listened to the audience because that's the audience wanted it.
Well, they did release a few trailers because, you know, TV, you can't have the what is it, red line or whatever trailers?
Red band
trailers. So, yeah, it kind of comes across as a normal superhero type flick, and it's not going to be.
But where are those going to be placed? You're not going to see those on Nickelodeon. You're not going to see those on Cartoon Network. You're going to see those you're going to see them on like some regular channels because that's, you know, main marketing. But I'm trying to figure out what channels like that would be better for that audience. But they're not going to see it on the, like I said, where they're marketed for it.
Okay. Yeah. So go check out Gremlins. Let's get into some feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Mop, since this is your second call and your first feedback, the question is, do you go ass to mouth?
Depends.
Even in the moment?
Depends on how much I've had to drink.
There you go. Okay, AA Andy Anderson. Creed and Force Awakens are two movies that reminded me a lot of the original movies they are taken from, but stand alone as their own. I would say Star Wars is very much a throwback to A New Hope, but yeah, I agree. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if they stand on their own per se, but Creed, I find, does a lot more.
Yeah, I can't comment on Creed, but yeah, Star Wars is a whole lot of New Hope.
Yeah, there was a bunch of movies that came out last year that were pretty much, it followed the structure of the original. Like Jurassic World is pretty much beat per beat Jurassic Park, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah, you know what? But the thing is, for Star Wars, that's what the fans wanted at the time. So they just literally gave what the masses what they wanted. So I think that's okay.
And I think, too, when it comes to Star Wars, it's like, yeah, we've been off the path and done new things. Those are called episodes 1, 2, and 3, and we see how well those resonated. So they dip back into the well a little bit, but they sprinkle in a little bit of newness. It's from this point forward. It's like, all right, tell the new story.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, they've introduced the Finn and Ren now, so they can go ahead and BB-8 and they can go ahead and start some new stuff.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
It's a solid foundation for the rest of the franchise, I think. It's more solid than the prequel series, the prequel film, so.
Yeah, 100%. And the two characters are very widely accepted. They're people like them, so that's a good thing. Fuck you, Anakin Skywalker. Maybe AA. Maybe it's the Diet Mountain Dew talking, but I think Mission Impossible Rogue Nation is the best one of the series. I actually agree with him. I think it was fantastic.
For me, it's a toss-up between... what was the last one? So Rogue Nation was 5, right?
And Ghost Protocol?
Yeah, for me, it's a toss-up between both. I like the humor. Yeah. I like the characters from the fourth movie. But I also like the set pieces from the last one.
But both were close. I agree. Ghost Protocol was very solid. AA, I was shocked how comical the Man from U.N.C.L.E. was. It was a nice surprise. Have you guys seen it?
I saw it.
No.
What'd you think?
It's very Guy Ritchie. It draws like a line between I love this series and this series was kind of stupid. So it kind of worked out.
and this is no fault, I think, to Arnie Hammer, but every movie he's in tanks. Like, just not
do
well.
Yeah, the poor guy, man. The poor guy. Lone Ranger. Like, the only success he had was, what, Social Network?
Facebook, yeah. And he wasn't the main character in it. The girl, what was the other one he was in? He got fucked. Lone Ranger, there was another one. I'm trying to remember now.
Yeah, I forget.
We'll look that up. Heavy, you look that up while we're talking. The girl that plays Amy Pond is in The Big Short, OSATM. Too bad she was not naked.
No shit. I'd love to see that.
While rewatching Rocky IV, I forgot the fight took place on Christmas. It just went on the top of my Christmas movie list. Do we count it as a Christmas movie?
Well, I guess we have to at this point.
Yeah, I think we decided last week it was, yes.
I don't count it, just like I don't count Gremlins.
It's about the Christmas spirit. The American Christmas spirit beats the Russian, the Soviets, and ends the Cold War.
Double Vamp, this fucking chick on the Batman episode. Why the fuck is she even on? I don't like Batman. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, well, I kind of agree with that. The one good thing is, though, if you listen to the Batman trilogy episode that we do, the three episodes there, the three parts, we actually we have a pretty good back and forth with it's Gallifrey, Will, and myself on the new Batman on Bale and stuff like that. So I kind of like having opposing views on the show. Although, yeah, I agree that comment was because of why you on the show. But I actually liked having the opposing views. And she actually gave some good insight on that episode.
I was on that episode.
Double Vent. What's that?
I was on that episode.
You were also on that episode, yes. Double Vent.
Iron Man for a reason.
Yeah, what's your streak at now?
It's at 120, I think, for him. it's up there.
It's if I were to drop off and like not be on the next episode, you two would be the
pretty much.
Iron Man. Let's put it that way.
Three.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it'd be the third episode if you're both on next week.
Yeah, Mop would be the new Iron Man. Also, Batman is a boring character. His villains make him more interesting. Well, I think it depends on which Batman, buddy.
Isn't that all heroes?
It's very true for Superman.
Yeah, Superman, fucking, before this latest one, I hated him.
I think DC superheroes in general are kind of boring, but Batman is like the cream of that crop.
Comes from Heavy Set at oldmovies.net. Add me to the call. Hashtag OSATM. So, yeah, we did.
Added.
Double A, we end on Double A. I watched the Peanuts movie with my kids and give it a 10. Parts made my kids belly laugh, apparently. Heavy, are you into Peanuts at all? That movie? Not the snack?
Well, I do like Mop, I do enjoy a good handful of nuts every once in a while.
There you
but,
go.
FTW
is a fan of different kind of nuts.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
I'm not a huge fan of him, but like I know there's a generation maybe closer to Mop's age that grew up on a lot of stuff Peanuts. Maybe that's even a little...
He's calling you old, Mop.
Yeah, the Great Pumpkin Patch, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Great Pumpkin Patch, the Christmas one, and because I know the show was, what, from the 70s, right?
I don't know. Cartoon. Yes. I have no idea.
Like, the Christmas special came out, I think, in the 60s?
Yeah, I don't think it's 60s, 70s, but it was around that time. Yeah. Like, I think my mom grew up on it, too, so I'm not huge into it, but, like, seeing the new movie, I haven't seen it yet. That one, I might have to wait until it comes out, but... I do want to see it. I think it looks really, really well done.
I saw it. It looks like visually it looks stunning. Like they managed to capture this look that's kind of feels like 2D, but it's in 3D, and it doesn't look like the hand drawn cartoon stuff. But visually, I found it stunning. It really captures the spirit of the old specials. Like it doesn't do anything new to the Peanuts franchise, but they go back to the well, and it's actually it's a great homage to the series.
I'm surprised it still does okay. Like it didn't do amazing. It does have a decent worldwide audience, so it made cost 100, and it made 129 domestic, but 102 foreign. So it pretty much made its money back. It's gonna make a little bit of profit. So I'm actually surprised it still does well, like, right now.
It still has appeal. That franchise isn't dead yet, so.
It cost $100 million?
Dude, animated movies cost a shit ton of money.
Good lord.
It probably cost a lot to research that look that they got to, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just figure out the amount of people it takes for everything, and plus whoever they get for speaking roles or whatever.
I actually researched why an animated movie costs so much. And it's crazy. To render like 1 second of film or something, it takes a guy like 8 hours or something like that. Where there's like 500 animators working, like, and they get maybe like a minute a day done. It's crazy the amount of work. And they have to have like server farms running constantly in-house fucking computing all this stuff. It's that's where they spend most of their money.
I think a lot of the animated movies probably make up for their for all of it. Besides,
and it takes like 3 years to make. Like,
yeah,
they got like fucking 500 animators, and it takes them 3 years to make a 2-hour movie. It's fucking mental.
I think what's crazy, like, yeah, it costs a lot of money. Most of them make it back in the box office, but at the same time,
most of them do. Yeah,
some of the merchandising and marketing, it's just, well, merchandising, they're gonna make a lot of money.
Plus, well, so you're going to make money, yeah, off the kids, man.
Like, look at Minions. How much money do you think?
That's a marketing machine, mm-hmm. that thing, man. Oh, my God.
And it hasn't died down yet, but I think we're getting close to the point. I think if they probably just lay off it a couple years, but still, they've made a lot of money off just little fucking yellow Tic Tacs.
Yeah, everybody has. Even, like, some older people still have, like, Minion fucking fridge magnets and toys and blah, blah, blah. And Angry Birds this year, I think that's going to...
Oh, yeah.
But a movie's coming out, right?
Yeah,
this year, yeah.
Okay, so let's end the show there.
Well,
go ahead.
You guys were talking a couple weeks ago about VIP seating and stuff at theaters. Do you guys have the lounge seating?
We do, yeah. It's Lazy Boys.
Oh, my God. That is the greatest thing ever.
It's so awesome. Oh, my God.
And those, at least here, are reserved seats. You actually pick your seats when you buy the tickets.
Yeah, here too. Yeah, you pick
your seat. That is the fucking nuts.
I mean, to go from that, from waiting in line for a movie for an hour and a half, not getting a good seat, to reserving it, comfortable seat, they bring the food to you. You know, as a 30-somethings, man, it is worth the extra $5-6.
Well,
you know,
if you got to go to the bathroom, you don't have to squeeze through people. There's room to walk.
Well, yeah, in our case, the bathrooms are individualized. So, like,
there's an entire row of bathrooms.
There's 30 individualized bathrooms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't have that. You actually have to go to the everybody else bathrooms, but
do no, that. I like my little individualized bathroom. It's cool. I mean, I love it. It's, you get alcohol, too, full meals. You know, you don't have to eat popcorn or nachos or whatever. So, it's a very adult experience, and it's 18 and over too, so like you don't have the little kids kicking the back of your fucking chair and stuff. So I find just the clientele that goes there, don't want to generalize, but most of them are pretty respectful. So
the ones here don't go that far with it, but like you, the person that's sitting behind you can't reach your seat. Like there's enough room there, but there's no food delivery or anything. It's just, you know, but yeah, dude, that'll actually make me want to go see movies more often.
I agree 100%. Yeah, I'm not in the theater every week now, so. When I go, like, for a big movie and that, I know that I don't have to wait out in line. I can get fucking food in my seat and that. Super comfortable, Lazy Boys. It's a way better experience. Especially for the big movies, it's worth the drive out there to go see it.
Where fuck are these movie theaters? Because I swear we don't have any around here.
I've got two of them, like, around me that have these same things. It's only, I think they only have two screens at each theater. But still, dude, it's the shit.
Everything we have around here is pretty much chain theaters. Regulars, Cinemark Tinseltowns, or Regal. I think there's one AMC in Cleveland. They're not around here a lot. And then I know not that far away from me, there's the theater that I grew up going to, which is like an independently owned theater at this plaza, and it's not really the greatest. But it's like probably where I went and seen 90% of my movies growing up, if not almost all of them. But nothing has like those things that you guys talk about. The best that
they're awesome.
I think the best that there is anything at like a Tinseltown, because they get some of these cooler features. One thing I like about Tinseltown in general, the one that we have in North Canton, is a couple of the theaters are like the nice stadium seating. So like the theaters hardly fill. Yeah, they will from time to time, but it's not really that bad. It doesn't get too full. The seats are pretty comfortable. But
the one here is Cinemark. It's a Cinemark studio or a theater.
Does it have like a special name besides like a location? Like,
it's got
probably Cinemark VIP, right?
No, there's four different brands of Cinemark, and this one, it was Rave, but I don't think they call it that anymore. It's like it's XD or something.
It's not the reclining seating. It's not, yeah, I don't know.
Lazy Boy, bitch.
I think the best. What? And one thing I used to love, too, was any movie theater that you can move up the arms on the seats.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, especially when you're crowded in that, it's nice. It's a nice little bonus.
Actually, with the lounge seating, the like every other one you can lift up, so you would have basically like a little love seat if you wanted.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, it's and it's fucking comfy. Even you don't even have to. Like honestly, it's properly spaced. But yeah, if you want it, you can.
Totally. Yeah, dude, my fat ass fits in the seats.
There you go. All right. So on that note. Plugs, final thoughts, heavy set, go ahead.
Just the normal stuff. Anything goes whenever we get around to another episode. NFL Easy Picks is still going for right now. The Wrestlecast, and yeah, that's if I want to throw out the plug for the AllWrestling.com week interview, that's pretty much everything else I do.
Mop, where can we find you online?
Pretty much the Mop Jockey everywhere. NFL Easy Picks and Anything Goes right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network.com.
Mixmaster Phil.
Follow us on our production of Stories, The Path of Destinies, upcoming action RPG coming out on the PS4 really soon. And also, since Will is not here, comicbooksftw.com, comic books for the win, for all your cosplay and old school comic book news.
The game you're working on, is it PlayStation only?
So the plan is PS4 first, and then it'll be coming out on Steam as well. And then we'll figure out how we roll into the other consoles. But yeah, but for now we have a thing with Sony, so that's the plan.
Exclusivity, yeah. Yep. Cool. All right, so for
we gotta forget one plug in. Wow.
The show will never end.
No, the plug for Carb's plug. I was gonna throw it out too.
Oh, Carb's a plug.
We're still looking for new members. Yeah.
Still looking for new members. There's probably something going on for some pay-per-view coming up. So the Royal Rumble's coming up.
Yeah. I think it's tonight.
So, yeah, make sure to
check it out. StableWars.com. Can I end the show now? Is that okay?
No.
Well, what movie for next week? You got to preview that.
Okay, what are we watching next week?
So we had a choice between, what was it?
It was like Born Identity.
Oh, yeah, Face Off.
Yeah, I was just saying like random shit.
Three Ninjas.
No, not Three Ninjas. Okay, I'm going to look up 90s action movies here quick. Hold on.
A little bit of Arnold.
We've never done Die Hard.
You never did Die Hard?
No, I don't think we've ever reviewed it.
So are we keeping with the Christmas movies?
Yeah.
I guess. It was Hulk Hogan one Christmas. Of the Die Hards?
Because Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie.
Yeah, we're either that. Okay, let's.
Well,
do
no,
this.
It's appropriate because rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
Well, yeah, it's Rickman too. Okay, yeah. But we have to give an option here.
Okay,
so it's either what's that?
I think the options are over.
Yeah.
Oh really? Okay, so it's been decided.
Die Hard.
Well, I like the idea of picking between two movies, and then we'll do the one movie first, and then the other movie second.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking Lethal Weapon too, but
another Christmas movie.
Can we seriously?
Yeah, that's
good God.
I can't get away from it, man.
Can we seriously pick movies I've seen?
You've never seen
it? Why don't you watch it? You have a whole week to watch it, dude.
Were you born in like 1999? What happened?
I was born in 1986, but my dad was never really big into a lot of movies. So like, and I didn't have any brothers or sisters. Right. So like, I just wasn't exposed to a lot of stuff. I wasn't exposed to Lethal Weapon, this is a very true story, until someone bought me the game for Super Nintendo.
There you go.
You said Loaded Weapon, right?
I said Lethal. There's a Lethal Weapon Super Nintendo game. I think it's
okay,
it's
fuck it. RIP Alan Rickman. We're doing Die Hard. Fuck you. That's it. Okay. That's it. So for Heavy Set, Mob Jockey, McMaster Phil, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
But wait!
With a franchise-ruining sequel/reboot on the horizon, it's time to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the film you loved as a child of the 80s, or the cartoon you loved as a child of the 90s, or the theme song you sort of recognize as a child of today.
Well, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters. Before Harold Ramis passed away, Bill Murray became a professional party crasher, and Dan Aykroyd went batshit crazy.
I don't think we will ever have a formal relationship, a formal contact with any alien species out there, especially after 9/11.
They were the Ghostbusters, old-looking, out-of-touch, out-of-shape nerds.
But when we get to 20, tell me, I'm gonna throw up.
Yep, this is what movie stars look like in 84, kids. When there's something strange in your neighborhood, there's only one group of unlicensed, heavily armed, disgraced college professors you can call. The Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
There's Spangler, a nerd.
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Ray, a nerd.
If the ionization rate is constant for all ectoplasmic entities, we could really bust some heads.
In a spiritual sense, of course.
Venkman, a borderline sexual predator.
Hey, will you stay here in bed until I get back?
And Winston, who was supposed to be played by Eddie Murphy, but got more or less written out of the movie when he passed on the role. And eventually cropped out on home video, too. When ghosts rise from the dead to haunt New York, the Ghostbusters are the only thing between the city and total chaos, causing the media to run glowing profiles of their successful business instead of the fact that ghosts exist and are haunting New York. But it's nothing the Ghostbusters can't handle. They've got the car, the gadgets, and the vaguely scientific know-how to put evil in its place.
10 people witnessed a free-floating, full-torso vaporous apparition.
Ectoplasmic residue.
Complete particle reversal.
Total protonic reversal.
Focused, non-terminal repeating phantasm.
Fourfold cross-rip.
You have been a participant in the biggest interdimensional cross-rip since the Tunguska blast of 1909.
Felt great.
I'm pretty sure you made half of that stuff up. Slide down the fire pole and into a PG-rated movie that kids loved, even though it's full of cursing.
Oh, sh**.
I have seen sh**. That'll turn you white.
What an ass.
This man has no dick.
Casual smoking. Boob grabbing. And ghost head. Whoa, kids' movies were way better back in the day. So grab your stick.
Grab your stick.
Heat 'em up.
Heat 'em up.
Make 'em hard.
Make 'em hard.
And don't cross the streams.
Cross the streams.
As the Ghostbusters take down the best knobs the 80s had to offer.
You are a pool of scientists, Dr. Venkman.
Exactly what are you a doctor of, Mr.
Venkman? $5,000? I have no idea to be so much I won't pay it.
And imprison hundreds of innocent creatures who don't do much besides read, eat, drive, and,
I feel so funky.
I feel like the floor of the taxi cab.
Let's say, booze? Starring Bill U. Murray Me, funny Dan Aykroyd, Egon but not forgotten, sick horny Weaver, 80s Dick, young old Larry King, Flubber, Dark Helmet, David Bowie, Not Eddie Murphy, Fat Casper, the dad from Family Matters, and Ron Jeremy. Whoa, no way! Ghostbusters. Kids, this was called a library. It's like a printout of Wikipedia where you have to be quiet.
Shh.